The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Come on, somebody. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that's why I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Are there any worshipers out there? Is there anybody that's not ashamed to let the world know who your God and who your Savior is? Because God is good all the time. I know I got some help up in here. He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I'm grateful and I'm honored to be here today, to be back at Asbury Theological Seminary. I count it an honor and a privilege to come and to stand behind this sacred desk to proclaim the Word of God. And I just want to take a moment to establish the protocol. Amen. That's our tradition. Amen. And so I want to recognize Dr. Geyerson, our esteemed president. Amen. To Dr. Jessica Legrone, and to all of our participants here that sit behind me, to my bishop, the 133rd elected and consecrated bishop of the AME Church, Bishop Harry L. Seawright, to my elder who is present today, of the Lexington District, Elder Kenneth Goffin, who is an alumni of Asbury as well. Amen. Come on, y'all. To Brother Charles Little, my friend and my brother, who goes every time I call, he just says yes, and he comes. We have been doing a lot of things together for many, many years, and I count it an honor and a privilege that you're here today. And to the choir that is has sung and is singing, to Reverend Gwendolyn Wilson, amen. I got a chance to chat with her in the back. The first African-American female to graduate from Asbury Theological Seminary. To any of my historic St. Paul family who may be present or watching, and then to the love of my life, Mr. Mark Anthony Ragland. And let me clarify, we have three children. When you said four, I started looking around. So my husband didn't tell me something. Mark Ragland, wave your hand for us. Amen. He is one of my biggest cheerleaders. We do have two fur children, Cassius and Hercules, so maybe that's what he was counting. And to all of you, I see a lot of my professors and colleagues and friends, to anybody and everybody who is somebody in Christ Jesus, we just greet you in the joy of Jesus. And I'm not going to be before you long, but there is a word from Almighty God. But before we do that, how many of y'all know about the goodness of God? Huh? And so y'all can help me sing this song if that's all right. Yeah. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath
of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest nights. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Oh yes, you have. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Holy Spirit, to fall fresh on this your servant right now. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, let it be acceptable in thy sight. For you're my rock and you're shown off my redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. And amen. Come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This morning, for just a few moments, I want to talk about being anchored in God's faithful love. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. But as we look around us, our hearts are heavy. The world is in turmoil. Amen? Wars are raging and tearing nations apart. Injustice plagues our streets and robbing our people of dignity and of opportunity. And don't even get me started talking about the government. Come on, somebody. Corruption and deceit and gridlock. It's enough, my brothers and sisters, to make you want to throw up your hands and give up. Do I have some help in here today? Not to mention the devastation we've seen from the recent floods and the ice storms and the relentless snow that has ravaged our communities and even the snowstorms that are heading our way later today. It just doesn't makes sense. Families are displaced, homes destroyed, people's lives are taken, and power outages leaving many folks in the cold. And it's enough to make you want to cry. It's enough to make you want to cry. In a fallen world, my brothers and sisters, we will face some trials and we'll even have some tribulations. It rains on the just as well as it does the unjust. We'll go through some suffering in our lifetime. And I always say, if you haven't gone through anything, just hold on, because your day is coming. But I know I've got a cloud of witnesses in this house today who have the hope and that blessed assurance that our God is sovereign. Do I have a witness? And he will work all things together for his purpose. And so I've come by here today to tell you that our God is still on the throne. Do I have some witnesses in here? His kingdom, my brothers and sisters, is unshakable. His power is limitless, and his glory is eternal. God is the almighty, the all-powerful creator who reigns supreme over all of the creation. His kingdom is eternal. His kingdom is sovereign. And it is unshakable. But before I get too far, let's jumpstart this thing, if you will, by reflecting on who Jeremiah was. You see, the prophet Jeremiah knew a thing or two about troubled times. Anybody been in some trouble? As the author of the Book of Lamentations, Jeremiah had a front row seat to the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of his people. You see, Jeremiah lived during the tumultuous period in Judah's history. He prophesied during the reign of several kings, warning the people to turn back to God and avoid the impending judgment that would come from their continued rebellion and idolatry. But just like some of us, help me, Holy Ghost, the people didn't listen. They refused to heed Jeremiah's warnings. And in 586 BC, the Babylonian army laid siege to Jerusalem, destroying the cities and the temple and taking the people into captivity. It was in the midst of this great devastation that Jeremiah penned the Book of Lamentations, a poetic lament over the ruin of his beloved Jerusalem and the suffering of his people. Jeremiah, if you will, knew firsthand the pain of watching everything around him crumble, the heartbreak of seeing his nation fall into disgrace. Even in the midst of this great devastation that Jeremiah penned the book, he declared the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Help me, somebody. His mercies never come to an end. They are new. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see, my brothers and sisters, Jeremiah had learned how to anchor his soul in the unwavering love and faithfulness to God. No matter how dire the circumstances, no matter how deep the sorrow, he knew that the Lord's mercies were new every morning. Come on, somebody. And that is the same truth that we need to cling to today. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the travesties, in the midst of the trials that we face, we can find hope and we can find strength in the steadfast love of our God. Come on and say amen for me. In Lamentations, he again declares the steadfast love. I need us to remember that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. They're not stale. Come on, somebody. They're fresh and they're new every morning. And so when we think about the attributes of God, we ought to remember his steadfast love, his endless mercies, and his great faithfulness, and that he can provide a firm foundation for believers to stand on, even in the midst of life's storms. As the great John Wesley once said, he said, the God of love pardons you. The God of love receives you. The God of love blesses you. Somebody and everybody in this room today, even me, need to hear those words today. Do I have a witness? And so the first thing I want to talk about is the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Jeremiah knew about trials and tribulations. He had again witnessed the devastation. He witnessed the exile of his people, but even in the midst of the overwhelming darkness, he declared this, the steadfast, I can't help but say it, love of the Lord never ceases. Somebody had a shout, his love never ceases. Beloved, God's love is not fickle. Help me, Holy Ghost. His love is not a conditional love. It's not a fair weather love. Help me, Holy Ghost. But it's an unwavering, steadfast love that endures forever. And so no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the storms that may rage around us happen, no matter how dire our circumstances may be, we need to know that the love of the Lord remains constant. The immutability of God's nature means that his love is unchanging and it's eternal. It's not dependent upon what we do. It's not dependent upon what we don't do. Help me, Holy Ghost. But it's about his own perfect character. So I ask you, church, where else can you find that kind of love? Where else can you find a love that never fails? A love that never walks out on you. Help me, somebody. A love that never gives up on you. Because the love of God, as demonstrated in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the greatest love that the world has ever known. Do I have some witnesses? It's a love that is unparalleled and it's unmatched. And so I challenge us today to cling to the steadfast love of God. When the world is crumbling, and it is, when the burdens of life feel too heavy to bear, remember the words of Jeremiah, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The second thing I want to tell you is that his mercy never comes to an end. Now that's a shout all by itself. Jeremiah didn't stop there, but he kept on talking about the mercies of God. And God's mercies are not finite, they're not limited. They're boundless and inexhaustible and new every single morning. His compassion and his grace toward his people are continual and they are unfailing. And oh, my brothers and sisters, how we need to hear that for such a time as this. In a world so quick to condemn, in a world so quick to point fingers and to cast judgment, we serve a God whose mercies are new every single morning. And in contrast to the condemnation and the judgment of the world, God offers us as his children unending mercy and grace. His forgiveness and his compassion are freely given. They're not earned. Am I right about it? As the late Dr. Martin Luther King so eloquently stated, he said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate, my brothers and sisters, cannot drive out hate. But only love can do that. And church, the love and the mercy of our God is the brightest light, the greatest love that we've ever known. This light and love of God as embodied in Christ Jesus is the antidote to the darkness and the hatred of this world. Through his mercy and his grace, God triumphantly overcomes the forces of evil. And so when burdens get you down, how many of us are burdened down today? When the weight of the world is weighing on you, remember that his mercies never come. They never come to an end. And so if you're looking for a shelter today, if you're looking for shelter from the storm in which you are encountering, I'm come by this morning to encourage someone that you can find refuge and you can find strength in the boundless mercies of God. even in the midst of all that's taking place, I encourage you to go where you can find that refuge and that strength. And the last thing I want to tell you is this. Great is your faithfulness. Come on, somebody. God's faithfulness is the core of his character. He is consistently reliable. He's trustworthy. And he's true to his promise. Never failing, my brothers and sisters, never forsaking his people. And oh, how we need to hold on to these truths in these days when the world seems to be spinning out of control, when the future looks bleak and uncertain. We don't know from one point to the next what's going to take place. We don't know if it's going to the sun is going to shine or if it's going to snow. Do I have a witness? We don't know if we're going to wake up and it's 70 degrees today and it's minus 2 tomorrow. Help me, Holy Ghost. But we need to know and understand is that we've got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. The steadfast faithfulness of God provides a secure foundation for believers, enabling them to withstand the storms and have that mountaintop hope, even in the face of adversity. And as the great philosopher and theologian Howard Thurman once said, he said, "Don't ask the world what the world needs, but ask what makes you come alive, and then do it." Do I have a witness? Because what the world needs is people who are alive and who are not afraid to stand bold on the word of God, to know that God's love is faithful, to be alive in Christ. We fully embrace the faithfulness of God, and it transforms us. It changes our hearts. It changes our lives. It empowers us to live with passion and with purpose, to walk with our heads held high, because we know who we are and who we belong to. Do I have a witness? The more we understand and experience the faithfulness of God, the more our own faith is strengthened, and the more we are motivated to live as bold witnesses to Christ Jesus. For the God that we serve is a good God. Do I have a witness? The God that we serve is a God of promise. The God that we serve is a God of redemption. And he is the God of our salvation. And the faithful covenant-keeping God of the Bible is the source of all of our hope. He's the provider of our redemption and the giver of eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so I want you to think about it for just a moment, my brothers and sisters, and ask yourself these questions. When has God ever failed me? When has he ever had his love to fall short on me? And we need to know and understand that God has consistently demonstrated his faithfulness, fulfilling his promise to his people. Do I have a witness? And if I had to call the roll this afternoon of God's faithfulness, I'm reminded that he was faithful to old man Noah, providing an ark in the midst of the flood. He was faithful to Abraham, fulfilling the promise of a son. He was faithful to old man Moses, leading the people out of slavery. He was faithful to old man David, establishing an everlasting kingdom. And so I challenge you today to understand that he went on and became even more faithful when he sent his son Jesus to die on that old rugged cross. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so I challenge you today to live in the light of God's faithful love. And when the storms of life keep on raging in your life, you've got to be sure and very sure that your soul has been anchored in the Lord. Do I have some help up in here? If I had to talk about the attributes of who God is, his love, his mercy, and his faithfulness, from the foundation of our hope and security, They are the bedrock on which we stand, even in the midst of life all around us. For in Psalms 105, it tells us, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I want you to know, when the world is crumbling down, we can stand firm on the rock of Christ Jesus. Do I have a witness up in here? For the Bible tells us he is the great I am. He is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. And we need not to forget the greatest demonstration of God's faithfulness, the journey of his son Jesus to that old rugged cross. Although the world rejected him, through the darkness sought to overcome him, Jesus remained faithful, walking the path of suffering, the path of sacrifice, all the way to Calvary's cross. I heard the songwriter say, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy. Anybody happy? Y'all don't act like y'all happy to me, but when you know that he went to the cross for you, you and you, you ought to stand up on your feet and begin to worship the Lord in this place. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. He's worthy to be praised. We got to trust him to know that he is the great I am. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He sent his son Jesus, who is the Alpha and the Omega. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha. He can be anything that you need him to be. And so he went there, suffered, bled, and died. But got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands, being anchored in God's faithful love. May God bless you, and may heaven smile down upon you. Here's my prayer.